gone from the county, some another man done gone.
Huh? I don't know. What? I'm just going across the street.
Shut your mouth.
Oh, no. What'd I do?
Turn around. Put your hands behind your back. Let's go.
A jury of your peers having found you guilty. 10 years.
What? Come on. Get that set.
I was in jail, too, man. It's cold-blooded in the jail. You go down there looking for justice. That's what you find. Just us.
Welcome to another edition of Crossroads Today. Now, here's your host, Roach Brown.
Good morning and welcome to Crossroads. We're heard on this station every Tuesday at 10 a.m. Thank you for the letters, emails, and phone calls that we've been getting from around the world. It's unbelievable. I never had that much mail even when I was in prison. But thank you for your continued listenership and participation in our show. We really appreciate you, because without you, we wouldn't be here. Crossroads is designed to address the issues of the criminal justice system and those folks who've been ignored, disregarded, and forgotten. This morning, before we start, we have a very interesting show. These are two gentlemen I've known over 40 and 50 years, and they've been consistent doing what they've been doing, and it's an honor to bring you folk like this who've been in the trenches for 40 to 50 years plus, and we've been actively involved with them throughout the years. First, we start off what we call the grapevine. Information that you can use, the grapevine. Kerwin Pittman, a formerly incarcerated individual, is leading the renovation of a closed correctional facility into a new campus-style reentry service center. Typically, when correctional facilities reach the end of their useful life cycle or are rendered obsolete by modern replacement facilities, the buildings are demolished and their sites are redeveloped for new purposes. In other cases, political gridlock or delayed decision-making processes can simply leave the buildings to sit unoccupied. However, one formerly incarcerated individual is leading an ambitious undertaking in transforming a shuttered state prison in rural North Carolina into a first-of-its-kind reentry facility. Kerwin Pittman, founder and executive director of Recidivism Reduction Educational Programs Services, recently purchased the Wayne Correctional Center near Goldsboro, North Carolina, which has been closed since 2013, and is initiating a renovation process across the 19-acre facility to provide transitional housing and support services for those recently released from prison. This is a first. A former incarceratee has bought a closed prison to make it more compatible to what his goal is down in Goldsboro, North Carolina. That is the first that we've ever heard an inmate, ex-inmate, has bought a prison. Federal Bureau of Prisons award tablet contracts as part of a broader modernization push. Under new contract, the Federal Bureau of Prisons will provide tablets from Secaucus Technologies to all inmates across the BOP's 119 active facilities. The Federal Bureau of Prisons announced a new initiative, Inmate Tablet Services, aimed at modernizing communications, education, rehabilitation, and daily operations across federal facilities. According to the Bureau, tablets from the Secaucus technology will provide secure messaging, video services, educational content, career training, health information, and reentry tool. The agency said the platform will also shift functions such as commissary orders, request forms, and program registration from paper-based processes to secure digital workflows. I wonder, is these tablets free, or do we have to pay? Do you have to pay for every time you use the tablets? There's always some jiggy-boogie with what's come down. So just check out and see what the fine details say. BOP directive allowed direct home confinement, bypassing halfway houses. A June 25 BOP memo requires staff to send eligible people straight to home confinement when halfway houses beds are unavailable, a change that could move release dates early for thousands, the Bureau of Prisons issued a directive requiring case managers to refer eligible people directly to home confinement if they have earned first step time credits and do not need halfway house services. Regardless of whether a halfway house bed is open, the source document is the BOP memo titled Federal Bureau of Prisons Issued Directive to Expand Home Confinement. Before this change, people whose FSA FISA credits made them eligible for community placement were often held inside longer simply because residential reentry centers, halfway houses, were full. The new directive removes bed availability as a reason to delay placement. Oh, and under it says, under the memo, BOP staff shall refer qualifying individuals to home confinement when halfway housing service is not needed. The word shall in a federal directive means the action is required, not optional. And that's been what we call the grapevine. Thank you for tuning in. Now we're going to let you our first guest, Mr. John Noble. He's a good friend of mine. I mean, he completed a 25-year career with the D.C. Department of Corrections, serving as both deputy warden and warden at the D.C. Department of Corrections. He worked as a case manager. I met him back in the 70s, and this gentleman has been doing the same work of helping, reaching out, trying to turn people's lives around. And I've ran into Brother Noble at several community meetings. He's written a few books, and he has agreed to be our guest this morning. In fact, he's calling in from Durban, South Africa. He's over there promoting his book, and he's in Shaka Zulu country. So Dr. John Noble. Good morning, Dr. Noble.
Morning. Afternoon here.
What time is it where you are?
Just after 4 p.m.
And you're over in where in South Africa?
Durban, South Africa.
What are you doing in Durban?
Well, I'm an adjunct professor at one of the universities there and working with black males.
Well, you're all over the world. I mean, man, when I called and asked you to be on our show, you said you were in South Africa. You said you couldn't do it. I said, oh, no, I ain't going to let you off like that. We've been trying to get you. And he wrote a couple of books. And one of the books that we wanted to talk about this morning is A Letter to Black American Males with Dr. John Noble. What is your book about? And what made you write it, Dr. Noble?
Well, I've always been an admirer of the Nation of Islam, Elijah Muhammad. As we know, he wrote two iconic books. One, How to Eat to Live, which most folks thought was primarily for Muslims, but it's for everybody. It's a very favorite book over here in South Africa. And the other one was...
You say the book is popular in South Africa now?
Yes. Okay. And the next one is A Message to the Black Man in America. That one came out in 1965. And I read it a number of times. And last year, I decided that I wanted to see how much of that is functioning today. In that book, he documented six principles that he wanted black males to embrace for their development. Quickly, they are the call to self-awareness and identity, understanding your history, where you came from, and how that creates a development within yourself. Economic independence and self-sufficiency, crucial for the liberation of anybody, not only black people. The role of education in empowerment, the call for moral and spiritual renewal, political and social organizing for change, and religious activity. In my book, I chose five of those principles, did research, and that research was interviewing black men all over the U.S., doing groups where I lecture and speak in the U.S., and just talking about these principles to see how they have been adhered to by black men in the U.S. And not to my surprise, they were not adhered to the extent that he felt that they should be. And this book came out, like I said, in 1965. And I just wanted to do some research to find out how much of those principles we have embraced as black men in America. And that's what the book is about.
You know, we met in the 70s. You came in on Lawton. I was serving life. And you came down in Lawton in the 70s. And I've been knowing you ever since the 70s. And you're one of the few gentlemen who I interacted with while as an inmate inside the prison, who treated everybody with respect. Your reputation is impeccable. You never mistreated nobody that we know of. And everybody gave you the utmost respect. And we watched you move up and up. Even back then during the days in the 70s in Lawton, you and I always could react. I remember Mr. Badanus. You remember Mr. Badanus?
Yep.
The chief psychologist back there in the 70s. And you came on board. And we just watched you.
WPFW's Summer Membership Drive runs August 2nd through the 15th. During that time, we hold space for you, our listeners, to support the critical work that we've done for 49 years. Our theme is reimagining Black liberation through our collective humanity in honor of Black August. And in that spirit, we dedicate this pledge drive to recent ancestor, WPFW's first program director, Young Lord, and Black Panther, Denise Oliver Velez, an immensely creative, scholarly, and revolutionary woman. Programmatically, WPFW remains committed to the radically liberatory vision that Denise held for the station, imparted through both music and message. Your contributions ensure that the station will continue to honor not only Denise's legacy, but the legacies of so many who've poured into WPFW. Unapologetically emancipatory, people-centered, independent media. Thank you.
The WPFW continues to celebrate our 50th year with our third benefit concert at the Palisades Hub on Sunday, July 26th from 4 until 6 in the afternoon, including live jazz music by local artists. There will be a performance by Washington pianist Janelle Gill leading a trio, with opening set by bassist vocalist Zoe Jorgensen accompanied by guitarist Parker Spears. More information about attending this event is on our homepage, wpfw.org. Help to keep jazz and justice on the air. WPFW, building a better world, one performance at a time.
This is it. The time has come. This is it. For us to be one.
Okay, it's 10:14 Washington. We're going to rejoin the show with Roach Brown. Roach, can you hear me?
I can hear you. Excellent.
Okay, good. Yeah. I know we're having some technical issues today, but your guest is still with you. All right, so you can go ahead. Okay. And go ahead.
All right. Okay, yeah, Dr. Nolan, I was talking about the self-awareness and identity and how that was a requirement. It should have been a requirement down when we were in Lawton. But you're one of the few people, I've met you over 45 years ago, and we're still in contact, and you're still working to make a direct impact in people's lives. And I keep asking myself, what kind of guy is you, man? And you worked in prisons, you worked with mental patients, and for the last 45 years, you've been writing books, speaking, lecturing, and now you're calling us from Durban, South Africa. Man, I don't know what to say except I'm proud of you. I respect you a hell of a lot. And I just want to know, what is it that you see that we need to do as black men or black males to get our act together? Because you've written a book about that. We've lost our Zoom, so we're talking to you on the telephone, Dr. Nova. Can you hear me?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Oh, yeah, I hear you. Excellent. You ain't got Shaka Zulu not standing by you. Nobody nowhere close, is he?
In spirit, yes.
Because, I mean, you over there in Durban, that's Shaka Zulu's country. And, man, I'd like to get there one day. Hopefully my wife and I will make it. But in answer to my question, what is it that we need to do as black males, man, to get our act together?
Well, to be directly, and that is we have to understand that the society that we have adopted is destructive to our innate nature.
Yeah.
We have to understand what a man means, relinquish the identity and the definition of manhood that has been thrust down our throats by the power structure. The definition of a man is not measured by physical strength. We have to understand we are powered by the mind. The mind determines what the body does. And we are the least developed mentally of all the men on the planet.
Wow. Uh-huh.
And we don't understand that. We refuse to understand that.
You're saying black men are?
Yes, because we have adopted the capacity of the weakest on the planet, and that is the white man.
Yes.
We define our manhood by what he says a man is.
Yeah.
Okay, all right, was that it?
Well, that's generally it. Now, there are accoutrements within that.
Okay. Like what?
I have a mental health organization that I limit to providing mental health services to black males. I get more calls from sisters than I do brothers.
Why?
Because the stigma of mental health in the black community in general, but black males in particular, is overwhelming.
Sure
brothers
is.
Have been conditioned by the majority of society that engaging in mental health, you're weak, you're a punk.
Yes, yes, yes.
And the only way we're going to remove these shackles is through sitting down, talking, discussing issues, rather than responding violently, which is the nature of the majority society.
Right. You know, when you say about mental health issues inside of prison, I was in Lawton, and they sent me to St. Elizabeth's Hospital, and I stayed there for 3 years. And when I came back to Lawton, when nobody talked to me, Dr. Noble, nobody, the word was that I was in left field. Roach was crazy. He didn't know what was going on. And like
exactly.
Almost for 8 to a year, I walked around in prison. I didn't have a buddy to talk to. When I walk up to a group of guys, they would just disperse and walk away because they're saying Roach was crazy. So that whole mental health stigma it demoralizes, it deteriorates you, it puts you in a class where folks don't want to associate with you. But believe this, when they classify me as being in left field and crazy, that was the best time of my life. I could walk around in prison. I put my clothes on backwards, put tape all around my head, got tattoos and put tape around them. When everybody had to go back for count, I could walk around the prison because I was classified as pay me no mind. So I was able to flip the script and use that insanity that gave me more freedom and mobility where I could move around and go into warden's office. Said, let me check you. Let me enter your trash, warden. And I go and take the warden's trash, but he didn't know I was reading all the council letters, mails, memos they had in his trash can. So being in that situation, I was able to turn that into a positive kind of situation, but most people are not able to do that.
Right.
And we
don't understand. We fail to understand that strength is in your mind.
There
not
you go.
Not in punching people, okay?
Yeah.
But that's what the majority of society has taught us, okay? It takes a lot of strength to admit that you have a problem. It takes a lot of strength to say, I'm going to do something about it.
Yeah. You know, you got one of your pieces, economic independence and self-sufficiency. There's a group in town been administered for 30 years called the Madness Connection. These are two brothers, Tyrone and Eddie Van. They've been running this Madness here, selling T-shirts, jackets, sweaters, and et cetera. They've been in business over 30 years, and they've been successful. They've been hiring other people, and they work with the Alliance, with Ceasefire Don't Smoke, their brothers and sisters, with their annual cookout. And these brothers, you talk about entrepreneur, most guys, a lot of guys come out of prison at this creek or find a way to generate a life income to take care to support them. And I just wanted to mention them two gentlemen. And economic independence, and when at the top of the show, I don't know if you heard it, about this gentleman who bought the prison down in North Carolina. You were seeing returning citizens stretching out, getting involved in all kinds of things, as opposed to working for somebody else. They're creating their own jobs. And this whole economic independence and self-sufficiency is spreading, and more folks coming out of institutions need it, because the guy do 20, 30, 40 years. You can't get no job when you come out of prison. You never had a job in your entire life. You're 70 years old. There's 40 years in prison. They say, find a job. You got 90 days to find a job. Come on, man. That's joogie boogie. They find these.
By the way, I'd like to know more about that prison that you mentioned down in North Carolina. If you can email me that information.
I will.
We're talking about economic development. You know, the nation was right about a lot of things, and definitely that one, because going down history lane for a minute, the Roman Emperor Constantine indicated when he was trying to come to power as the Roman Emperor, he indicated that there were two ways to control people. Control their religion and control their economy. And once you can control those two entities, you control the people. We have failed to develop economic liberation back in the U.S. We failed to do that. A recent study by the Pew Research that I documented in my book, 97% of all employment in Black America is provided by somebody else.
Say that again, Doc.
The Pew Research indicated that 97% of employment for Black Americans is provided by somebody else.
The first step to
liberation is economic liberation.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, even though I admire our civil rights leaders for the work that they put in, one of the biggest disasters is begging to be integrated into a society that has enslaved you for centuries.
Yes.
Hated
it.
And you look at the Montgomery bus boycott. We had a golden opportunity to develop economic independency. The Montgomery bus boycott lasted 381 days. In the absence of riding on white people's buses, what did we do? We carpooled, walked in many instances, and rode bicycles.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But when the boycott ended, what did we do? We went right back to giving our money back to the Montgomery Bus Company, in addition to the fact that they raised the prices so they can recapture the money that they lost.
Why didn't we
just create our own bus line?
Yeah.
There was a company in North Carolina that created its own bus line, one of the largest Black bus line, when that the Montgomery bus boycott ended, and it was a group of about four or five black guys in Winston-Salem,
North Carolina. In our family, yes.
And one of them is related to Martine, and we went down to North Carolina and read the history of these five black men who started a black bus company, and they were successful, employed a lot of people. And it showed what you're saying, that we can do our own economic moves to deal with some of this discrimination.
Yeah, but that's our biggest issue, right? Not understanding. Well, we weren't taught about money and finance and stocks and bonds and nothing.
Well, we did. We did. When emancipation took place and our ancestors were freed from physical slavery. We still suffer from, in many ways, mental slavery.
Yeah.
When our ancestors were freed, they had two options. One, to stay on the former slave's farm and engage in sharecropping.
Right.
Where he would lease them a parcel of land, buy the seeds so they can plant their own crops and use tools to harvest their crop, with the condition that they still work his crops. And many of them did do that because they knew nothing else.
Right.
They didn't know how to read. It was illegal to learn to read and write during slavery.
Yeah.
On the other hand, there was another group that chose the route to economic liberation.
Okay.
Many of our ancestors during slavery were in business for themselves.
Yeah.
Beauticians, barbershops. In fact, Abraham Lincoln's wife, seamstress, was a black woman.
Yeah.
So they pooled those resources that they had saved and began to develop businesses for themselves.
Beautiful.
That gave rise to Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Let me interject. Let me cut in. We got a couple of minutes, and I'd like for you to, and I wanted to get into, have you had a chance to visit any of the prisons and the jails over in South Africa, especially in Durban, and how they're treating our people over there as opposed to over here. Can you give us a little synopsis? We got about 3 minutes before
The primary one, of course, was the one that Nelson Mandela was incarcerated for 27 years. That's Robben Island.
Yeah. Have you been there?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's closed now. It's a tourist attraction. And it began to close once Nelson was released. And as you know, all those men that were there were political prisoners. They had not committed any crimes other than fighting for their liberation.
Okay. We got a couple of minutes, Doc. Can you want to give us closing remarks and how folk can get in touch with you when you come back to the States? Because you're currently in South Africa, and you'll be coming back shortly.
I'm just working, as I indicated. My passion is working to develop black males. Black males in America, as well as around the world, are at risk of destruction more than anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't know that. We have to understand that what's happening to us is by design, because we are the greatest threat to the existence of white people.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, we are. What is the name of your book again, and where can people get it?
A Letter to Black American Males. I self-published it. So if anyone wants a copy of it, you can send a request to John Noble, Post Office Box 71265, Washington, D.C. And the cost of this book is $15.
Okay. All righty, our time is up. I'm glad that you were able to join us from Durban, South Africa. I had a whole lot I want to ask you about Shaka Zulu and the prison system over in South Africa. We'll get you, when you come back to the States, we'll continue this conversation and go a little more in depth. I guess it's been none other than the renowned Dr. John Nobles, who I met in back in the 70s in Lawton, and I've been knowing this gentleman over 45 years. This is unusual. An inmate, ex-inmate, and a former warden get to be buddies or compadres, and he come on our radio show. This is
thank you.
It's unbelievable. I want to thank you, John, and we'll see you when you get back in.
And, thank you. And don't forget to send me that information about that brother prison down in North Carolina.
I will. I'll send that to you. We'll send it to you later this evening. I guess it's been Dr. John Noble, author of A Letter to Black American Males, A Letter to Black American Males, a book about black males and what we need to do or could do to improve our situation in life. Thanks a lot, Dr. Noble. And I'll see you. When are you returning?
In a couple of months. I'll let you know.
Oh, wow.
You're over there that long? Oh. You can be over there for that long in South Africa?
Teaching.
Oh, okay. Beautiful. All right.
Well,
that's great, man. I'm proud of you. Thanks a lot, man. And we need you, and we need what you've been doing, and you've been a good friend of ours. So thanks a lot. Our guest has been Dr. John Noble. Now we're turning to...
This is WPFW, your station for jazz and justice. Is Nikeechi on the line, or did Nikeechi have to get off the line?
No, I can put Nikeechi on the line if you want.
Yeah, let her have some say. I'd like to give the telephone number, whoever wants to call in, and talk about our next guests, who are very exciting. The telephone number is 202-588-0893.
And thank you. And also, we're starting our second half hour, and this is we've been bringing some unusual programs. Yeah. The old Georgetown Foggy Bottom reunion, and with a tribute to Ralph T.D. Green. We got two gentlemen on. They've been having a cookout every year for 30 years, and every year they honor Ralph T.D. Green. And we went to a program that was held by a good friend of ours, Snooks. Where's Snooks now? Where's Snooky? Yeah, where's Snooky?
David
Rowley. Yeah, David Rowley, Snooky. And John Briscoe, these two gentlemen from Georgetown, they grew up with Peter Green, and they got a whole cadre of people who grew up in Georgetown in the 50s, 60s, and 70s. And they had close personal relationship with Peter Green, and we decided to bring them on because this tribute to Peter Green is at a beautiful, beautiful location. Snook got him a piece of property down in La Plata, Maryland, and we went down there. And folk, it would blow your mind. Petey would be talking trash if he was down. I said, man, y'all treat me with first class with this. So there's an old Georgetown Foggy Bottom reunion and a special tribute to our good friend Peter Green. We will be doing a one-hour in-depth show on Peter Green, on his whole life, especially in the upcoming future. But this is a quickie that we decided to share with you. If you want to attend this cookout on Saturday, Saturday, the 27th of July. And the address is 8880 Mitchell Road in La Plata. And folk, the food is tremendous, and you just need to see this facility. Our good friend, David Rowley, we call him Snook. I met him in the 60s. We've been buddies since the 60s. We were youngsters locked down at the youth center. So good morning to you, Snooky. How you doing?
Fine. How you doing?
It's good to have you here, Snook, especially when the count clear, because we ain't got to line up no more. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we ain't got to line up no more.
So, yeah, how long have you been doing this Peter Green tribute at the Georgetown Foggy Bottom reunion? How long have y'all been carrying this on?
Well, we've been carrying it on since probably in 1996, me and Briscoe been carrying it on by ourselves. We had a committee, but some of them had heated discussions about who's in charge with a power struggle. So at that point, I went down and got the package for the nonprofit. So we had to pick a president and an agent. So I nominated Briscoe, and today he's the president, and I am the registered agent. But we've been doing this one for 30 years, just me and him alone.
I know.
At first, we had the committee. I came in 89, and we had a committee.
So then why are y'all doing this? Why you didn't? What's the purpose of this Georgetown reunion and the tribute to Peter Green? Why are you doing it?
Well, he started it back in the late 60s or early 70s, and he said, we got to stop meeting like us at funerals. You know, it's the only time we see each other.
Yeah.
And so he started the reunion, and every year, you know, he had seniors to come in the front door of Francis to the lunchroom. I mean, he had the lunchroom. And we were outside most of the time, you know, doing our thing. So when we came in, all the seniors were seated, you know, and that was his thing. Seat the seniors first, because if it wasn't for them, we wouldn't be here.
Well, I'm glad you said that, Snook. I'm so glad, because that's one of the things I wanted to share when I was this morning. Petey was passionate about helping seniors, treating them fair, treating them right. And because of what's going on now, our seniors are being forgotten. They're being left out. They're being dulled. And for those folks who knew Peter, he always talked about Aunt P, his grandmother and his aunt, as well as look out for seniors. And because of what's going on now with the high cost of living and the gas and the price, our seniors are catching hell. If Peter was around today, he'd be talking about we need to get together, organize, and mobilize and help our senior citizens, man, because they're catching holy hell. And that was one of the things that he pushed when he was here, is to treat and seniors with respect and dignity and make sure they got the services they need, because they're in their last final minutes of their this is the last dance for a lot of them, and the record won't play no more. So I'm glad you said that, man, because I want to mention that people, if you're listening, do something. You remember Daryl Stoudemire, don't you, Snook?
Yeah.
Daryl passed away a few weeks ago, and we came up with a thing called Do to Daryl. Help somebody. Do something nice and good for somebody. Help an old person across the street. Go in the house and check and see if they got air conditioner or they got enough to eat. And when Daryl passed, we came up with the thing of Do to Daryl. Do something good for somebody and don't ask for anything. We want to do to Daryl down at the Peter Green tribute to say that, hey, help somebody. Do something, and especially our seniors. What's your take on Peter's thing with senior citizens? Is Briscoe there?
Yeah, I'm here.
I was wondering where you was, Turkey. You sitting there ain't saying nothing?
I'm a good listener. I'm a good listener. You know what I'm saying? I'm a good listener.
You hear that, Snooky? But he's a good listener. Come on here, Briscoe.
Yeah.
What's your take on this, Briscoe?
He's a good president.
Y'all been doing this for 30 years, man, and I'm so proud of y'all keeping this thing alive and keeping Peter's name alive. We're going to do a show in the immediate future, whole one-hour special on Peter Green. Why are you involved with this, Briscoe?
Well, I'm involved because I miss Georgetown, old Foggy Bottom Georgetown. You know, all my parents, I'm like third generation Georgetown. You know, my grandmother, my grandfather, my dad, and his brothers, you know, and we all were fortunate enough to be brought up in Georgetown, Foggy Bottom, and when Stoogie asked me to join the group and persuaded me to become president, you know, I told him, I said, hey, I'm not looking for no power. I'm just, we had to have presidents and treasurers and names so we can incorporate. That was the main thing, you know, but it wasn't about power, who's in charge, you know. It's about getting the picnic together every year. That was the base. That was the basic thing.
Let me ask you this: Why are y'all paying tribute to Peter Green? He's been dead out in 84, and y'all been doing this for over 30 years. Why are y'all doing this every year for Peter Green?
Basically, because Petey started it. You know, he that was his vision.
Okay.
You know, and although he was gone, we wanted to keep it up. And Snooky and I, we understood that from the beginning. We weren't trying to, get anything out of it. We wanted to have our people come together as a community again, you know, and before you know it, you know, time moves on, you know. When I realized it was over 25 years, I was saying, Lord, I've been doing this for a long time.
Wow. So I have a question. Roach, this is Nikichi. I don't know if you can hear me. I'm in the car for your guest. So with the gentrification of Georgetown, and I know you said you all have been doing this forever and forever, forever. How has that or has that impacted the picnic and the organizing? You know, I mean, where is it still happening in Georgetown or what?
No, it's not. It's not happening in Georgetown. They have built the buildings and made a campus out of the Francis Junior High School where we used to have it all the time. That was a place where everybody in the community used to gather or come to the pool or play or whatever. And that's where Petey had the reunion. That's where he started the reunion right there at Francis. And that's where we used to have it, but it's not available to us. It took them 25, 30 years to get us out of there, I guess, you know, because there's no room for it now. You know, we don't have the room that or the space that we needed to have a reunion down there now, you know. But
let me ask this, Snook. What about the place y'all having in there? What about the place y'all having it right now, 8880 Mitchell Road in La Plata? How's that place?
Well, that's by the grace of God that Mr. Riley is keeping his dream alive. You know what I'm saying?
Sure, yeah.
He came to me and said, I think we get ready to do it again. I said, you got the place. You give me the word. Let's go. You know? So that was our attitude. We got the perfect place. It's a little further away from Francis, but we got the perfect place, you know?
The place is beautiful. Snook took me and my wife on a tour of the place, man, and it blew me away when I walked in the front room. He had a Christmas tree with all the lights and all the trimmings. Hey, Snook, how did you do? Why did you know I was coming that day, man?
No, you know, my daughter keeps that stuff up for 6 months. And I say, I'm a surprise, Roach. Every time you see me holler Merry Christmas, I'm going to give him a real Merry Christmas. I'm going to show him a Christmas tree with packages on it.
Yeah, that was pretty good. That was good.
And look, and Roach, you gave the wrong date for the picnic. You said it's Saturday the 27th. It's the 25th.
This Saturday coming. Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that, Stuka. I forgot to mention that when he said that. Yeah, the 25th.
Yeah.
We don't want nobody to miss it, you know, but yeah.
Give him the phone number to call. Give them the phone number to call if they need information on how to get down to this cookout, you know, the reunion at Foggy Bottom and the tribute to Petey Green.
Okay.
What's the phone number?
202-667.
Go ahead.
You got the 667?
667?
0330.
0330. Okay. And it's 202?
Yeah.
Is that 202 or 301?
202.
Okay. Ooh. What is the tribute? What does the tribute consist of, Snook, down at your place?
Well, we're going to make an announcement about Petey and how he inspired me, you know, coming from what he came from and coming from what I came from. You know, I said that he inspired me, so I'm going to give him a tribute to that. And, you know, I heard your last guest talking about Black people and generational wealth. So yeah. I think I've created the perfect spot for my family to have generational wealth, because when I was down Foggy Bottom, I was born in the house, 830 New Hampshire Avenue, Northwest.
Uh-huh.
And every time we had to move, I was wondering why we had to keep moving, you know, block to block. So I said, if I ever get a chance to get a place to stay, they're not going to move me that easy. I got a chance to say yes.
And you did that, boy. Your place is a winner. I mean, man, it is beautiful. It's spacious. It's luxurious. And you came a long ways from the fog above. And I told you, if Pete was alive, he'd have said, man, who did you rob? What would you?
Yeah, but you know, what I put on the house when I pulled it up, I put mm-hmm. Foggy Bottom Rags to La Plata Riches.
Oh, wow.
I didn't forget where I came from.
You sure have it, man. And I'm telling you, this thing on 725 Saturday at 8880 Mitchell Road. Just go down there. It is, boy, you came a long way from Foggy Bottom. I can hear Pete in the castle now smiling and talking trash and say, look at that damn Snooki go. Look at Snooki go. You know what I mean? And, man, I appreciate you for doing this. For 30 years, you've been carrying this banner, man, to make sure that we keep the Foggy Bottom reunion alive, but also our good friend Petey Green. If Petey was alive today, what would you say he would say? Huh? What's going on there? What do you think he would say? Huh?
I know he would be proud. I know that.
Yeah, he would be proud.
He would be proud.
He'd have you on a TV show. He'd put you in this Cadillac Snook and let you drive it. And say, drive this thing, because he had a Cadillac and he never drove. He let somebody else drive while he sit in the passenger side, signifying and hollering at people. Hold on a minute. We got a little piece we're going to play. Go ahead, Brian. We want to play this little piece on Petey Green. Are you there, Brian?
Come on. Look, let me tell you one thing, sucker. I just can't understand how we as black people start eating hot watermelon in the cloud. There's three things that I'm an authority that I can speak on. One is drugs, one is alcohol, and the other is venereal disease. I've been victimized of all three of them.
He was one of the first people who say things in a shocking way because they want to shock people into thinking about that issue.
You know, people use drugs because drugs is good.
Between 1967 and 1983, he spoke to and for people who had often been voiceless.
And I think about how I've changed and would I ever be able to help somebody.
The evidence evidently is that there were white people who were responsible.
You know, I don't know why we hate each other.
There, everybody was in the consensus that Petey was the voice that needed to be on the microphone.
He was a fighter. He was a fighter.
And I don't believe that his dream is anywhere near getting fulfilled.
If you're going to really try to make some changes, you really need to know what you're dealing with.
He had such influence.
Please listen to what I'm saying tonight. You know
the thing that misery. For my ex-drug addict, a wine head, community activist, radio host, comedian, MC.
How come I don't get no big chair? This is Petey Green!
So grab your head and make a fist, listen to me, and remember this, and I'll tell it to the hot, tell it to the cold, tell it to the young, and I'll tell it to the old. I don't want no laughing, I don't want no crying, most of all, no signifying. I don't want no signifying. I'm just trying to help out a little bit.
That was our man, Ralph Waldo Petey Green. Boy, it's good just to hear his voice, man. It's sad to think that he died in 84. That's a long time ago, and he's still impacting what's going on, not only in the city, but all across the world. In fact, I don't know if y'all know this, Snook and Jane Briscoe. There's a group in New Jersey called the Petey Green Foundation, and they're teaching kids how in prison, or for young people incarcerated, to get their GEDs to go to college and school. So this is a group that's been doing this for about a few years. Petey is still impacting people's lives all over this country, man. And we had a giant among us.
Yes, Simbo, let me just type in. This is Nikichi. I remember Petey Green on the radio way, way, way back in the Dewey Hughes days when I was a teenager, and he impacted my life way back then, and his legacy still lives on. So kudos to the brothers and sisters from Foggy Bottom for keeping his spirit alive.
And I'm glad you said that. The Snook and Briscoe, what
is it that that Pete had done for you in your life? How do you remember him and what he did for you? Great Snook.
Well, he inspired me because I know I'm glad he didn't mention, because I wasn't going to call no names or tell about his past, but he told his own past. Peter was a winehead, and a lot of people didn't know, you know, that when we was at Francis Recreation Center, they had two particular people that always thought they could join or out join him. He cut both of them up, had me in stitches, and I was a youngster. So we're going to keep this legacy alive. We stopped during the COVID, it impacted us, but we're back now, and we're going to keep on doing it and pass it down to the younger generations and hope that they'll keep it going for another 50, 100 years.
What about you, Briscoe? How's he affected you, Pete, affected you, Briscoe?
Well, I was just so inspired by when I first encountered Petey Green. I was a young guy. And Petey was, like you say, the wino or whatever. But to see him rise and get the platform that he had before he died was amazing to me. It sort of let me know how you hear the old saying, you can do anything, it don't matter what you are, you know, it ain't how you start, but how you finish, you know. Mm-hmm. That inspired me so much to see Petey Green. When they made a movie of him, I said, this man is amazing. You know what I'm saying? Because I seen him on the street when he was the old Petey, and what God made the new Petey was amazing to me. You know, that was my inspiration for Petey Green. You know what I'm saying? They would talk about him going to jail and all this other stuff. And my family, all of my family knew him. Oh, Petey ain't this, Petey did this, Petey did that. Turn around, he had one of the biggest platforms that anybody could imagine on radio and TV, you know?
Sure. Yeah, people who aren't familiar, there are two movies on Petey Green, Just Your Color, that's with Don Cheadle.
Don Cheadle. I thought they could have picked somebody that looked a little better. Look more like.
You know what I'm saying? Let me interrupt for a moment. The caller came on, wants you to repeat the address for the event. And also, engineer says we need to get ready to wrap up in about 3 minutes. So take it away.
Okay.
Repeat the address for the event.
The address is this Saturday, 8880 Mitchell Road, La Plata, Maryland. You can go straight down Branch Avenue. It's 8880 Mitchell Road. You pull in, and it will blow your mind when you see the property. The phone number to call is 202-316-6922. 202-316-6922. And because of Petey Green, we're here today. I joined Petey back in the 70s when he was at WL. He, Herb Boxdale, Rudolph Yates, and we had a round table once a month on WOL and the WDCA, as well as Black BET. So Petey got me started with what I'm doing on radio, TV, etc. So I owe him a whole lot. But beyond that, I owe him his loyalty. He, like Snook just said, Petey would talk about himself first. If he stunk, didn't take a bath in a week, he would tell you, don't get too close. I'm not smelling too chippy. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
He wasn't ashamed or embarrassed about nothing he did or done. He was one of the most honest persons I've ever met. He would tell on himself first, okay? So I guess it's been none other than David Snooks Riley and our man James Briscoe, who's holding the Georgetown Foggy Bottom Reunion Saturday the 25th. That's this Saturday. Down in La Plata, Maryland, 8880 Mitchell Road. Come down, and you will be... Snook got a place that would knock you out. Snook, I'm so proud of you, you turkey. I bet if the warden knew you did this, he'd come in and try to lock you up, Snook. He didn't
come lock me up, huh? Well, you know, they always say they're going to hold a bed for you because you'll be back, but, you know, some of us fooling. Yeah, right.
Give us some closing marks. We got a minute or two. Give us a closing mark, Snook and Briscoe.
Well, you know, we love Petey, and we're going to try to keep his thing going. And you can tell how well liked he was when he passed. He had maybe 10,000 or 15,000 people waiting in the snow to view him and pay their respects to him. So, you know, I was inspired by him, and I'll continue.
Okay. All right. Okay, Briscoe, you want to give us closing remarks?
I just wanted to say I appreciate the platform you allowed us to be on today. And Snooki and I have always tried to spread the word the best we can, but this is one of the better times that we've been able to do that, and I certainly appreciate it. Like Snooki said, we're going to continue because we're not out for the glory. We just want to...
There you go.
Continue Petey Green's platform. And try to do for others. You know what I'm saying?
Thank you. Our guest has been James Briscoe and David Snooki Riley, the Georgetown Foggy Bottom Reunion, and with a special tribute to Ralph Petey Green. That's at 1 o'clock this Saturday, 888 Old Mitchell Road, down in La Plata, Maryland. Anytime after 1 p.m., and folks, the environment, the yard, the property, and when it's been held, it is top of the line in first class, and Petey will be smiling down at you rascals, saying, man, thank you for thinking of him and keeping his memory alive. Thank you, David Snooki, Riley, and James Briscoe. We will see you Saturday down in La Plata. Is that correct? Hello. Well, our time is up. We have to get out of here. I want to remind you, this has been Crossroads. We come to you every Tuesday. We're glad that the show is going worldwide. And our first guest called in from Durban, South Africa. I wanted to really get into how they treat the prisoners over in South Africa, but we'll get into a little more of that because our guest, Dr. Noble, was a warden, deputy warden in Lawrence. So I knew he went over and visited the prisons. We're really interested on how our brothers and sisters are being treated.
Roach, time is
out. Thank you, and this has been Crossroads.
I know we can do it if we all lend a hand. The only thing we have to do is put it in our mind. Surely things will work out. They do it every time. Yeah. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. Change it, just you and me. Change it, yeah. Can't do it alone. Change it, yeah. Need a little help to go. Change it, yeah.
The WPFW continues to celebrate our 50th year with our third benefit concert at the Palisades Hub on Sunday, July 26th from 4 until 6 in the afternoon, including live jazz music by local artists. There will be a performance by Washington pianist Janelle Gill leading a trio with opening set by bassist vocalist Zoe Jorgensen accompanied by guitarist Parker Spears. More information about attending this event is on our homepage, WPFW.org. Help to keep jazz and justice on the air. WPFW, building a better world, one performance at a time.
This is it. The time has come. This is it. For us to be one.
The Anacostia Business Improvement District supports community engagement and local culture in historic Anacostia. The organization presents Jazzy Sundays in Anacostia, an 8-week series of live music in the park. Performances occur 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. on Sundays from July 12th through August 30th at 1234 Marion Barry Avenue Southeast. This series is open to the public. Details are available at anacostiabid.org/jazzysundays.
So sweet.
WPFW, Washington, 89.3 FM.